Thursday, gusts up to 45 miles per hour. This morning, wind southwest at 20, gusting to 30 miles per hour. 72 degrees Kenosha, 71 Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. If you have lived here in southeastern Wisconsin and follow the theatrical scene at all, then you surely by now are acquainted with one of the most remarkable legacies at Carthage College, namely their New Play Initiative. And for 16 years now, Carthage has made a concerted effort to share with the public year after year after year a world premiere, a brand new play unveiled for the public. And it has been such an exciting experience, not only for those of us in the audience collectively, but also, of course, for the students who have the priceless opportunity to collaborate with playwrights in helping to bring brand new works to life on the stage. The latest installment in the New Play Initiative is opening this weekend. It is Life Cycle of a Star by Ali Viterbi. And I am so excited that today on the morning show we can have not only the playwright Ali Viterbi with us, but also Dr. Herschel Kruger, who is chair of the theater department at Carthage. And as far as I can recall, really the primary impetus behind this New Play Initiative, helping to create it and to shepherd it over these last few years. And it has been such an exciting experience for the theater department. And so we will talk with him about this particular collaboration, the invitation extended to Ali Viterbi, and what it has been like to bring this brand new play, Life Cycle of a Star, to final fruition, with performances coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following weekend, November 7, 8, and 9 in Wartburg Auditorium. Herschel Kruger and Ali Viterbi, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us.
First of all, Professor Kruger, did I misspeak, or are you willing to admit that you were the sort of primary guiding force in terms of the creation of the New Play Initiative?
Yeah, originally we were, putting together some ideas about guest directors and idea of writing new plays, I went to the administration and I asked for three different things, hoping I'd get one or two, and I got two, and the New Play Initiative support was one of them. So that was back with President Campbell and Bill Apt, and they were really supportive of trying to develop what we're doing with Carthage Theater and helping to create an identity. And new play creation and development kind of germinated at that time. Mm-hmm. So it took this is our 16th new play, but I think the original discussion and everything was about 18 years ago. And then there was the first year to develop the new work after that, and we're off and running, and we have playwrights scheduled through play 20 now. So we're really excited about this play and the continuation of the program. Mm-hmm.
I want to just ask you real quick about something else that has been talked about on the morning show from time to time, and that is this matter of verbatim theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure those are actually not part of the New Play Initiative, or am I wrong about that?
Well, that is an offshoot of the New Play Initiative, that in this 16-year period, or the 16 new plays that we've commissioned, we've also written, meaning Carthage faculty and students, another 11 plus plays, but 11 that we have staged, fully staged, either in the Studio Theater or the Wartburg. And the verbatim theater program, part of that, is driven by Professor Martin McClendon.
Right.
And it started with a couple of different projects and has just continued to grow. And every other year, they create a new work, and they've been really successful in engaging with different community members on some very important topics, and just finding this audience that has been supportive of the program and all the different constituencies that engage with us. So other departments at the college, and health and nursing, and in social work, et cetera. And then all of those different groups within our community. So in Kenosha, southeastern Wisconsin, and beyond.
And I only mentioned it to say that is yet another way in which brand new theatrical works are being brought to the public. In and of itself, just this New Play Initiative and these 16 works, that in and of itself is a tremendous accomplishment. And then you fold into it these other new works as well. I mean, I don't think there are very many college theater departments who can probably point to a legacy as impressive as that.
Yeah, thank you. I think in the spring it'll be 28 new works in 16 years. So.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the way in which, first of all, you make connection with various playwrights, potential playwrights. And we will eventually get, of course, to Ali Viterbi herself in this particular collaboration. But just more in a more overarching fashion, who and what are you typically sort of looking for in terms of mapping out which work and which playwright will be the next installment in this series?
Yeah, so it starts with, started with, like, people who we know, people we've worked with professionally and who have been very successful, right? So we could say we've had Emmy winners and Tony winners and Oscar winner and people who are writing regionally and on Broadway and for, HBO and all these different streaming services. So very successful writers who would then say, hey, my friend so-and-so, right? So Eric Simon said, Rick Cleveland would love to write for you guys. You'd be a really good fit. And we've, kind of branched out from there. But I've also been looking at playwrights who are kind of emerging. And I meet them, sometimes I just email them out of the blue, but like at the Humana Festival, which was a new play festival down at Actors Theater Louisville, in Chicago,
Victory Gardens.
Victory Gardens. So those were a couple of professional companies that had a mission to create new works. So I'd always see who was on the docket and try to get their plays and read them, and I'd email them and invite them, you know, to have a discussion and engage their interest in writing for us. And that's how I met Allie. You know, and sometimes other people say, hey, CQ. So last year's playwright, someone said, you should read their works. They're really good, and they have something coming up at the Kennedy Center, and I think they'd be a good fit for your program. So I follow through on suggestions and leads. So those are the three ways that we've filled out our docket of playwrights over the years.
You mentioned something intriguing when you mentioned Eric Simonson, whom I've interviewed on this program, I think twice at least, about the contributions he's made to this. The whole matter of, oh, you should seek out such and such, so and so, he would be a good fit.
Or she.
Right. He or she would be a good fit. What are we talking about? I mean, in general, what kind of a playwright typically would be a good fit for Carthage and specifically for this new play initiative? Another way to ask it is, what do you think Eric Simonson meant when he said so-and-so would be a good fit for this?
Yeah, I think that they would love the creative process and working with young people and students, working with our production team and design teams and directors on faculty. I think we're really fortunate. You know, the people I work with, Neil and Martin and Kim and other guest directors and designers we've had in. My wife designs for us, our lighting designers, student designers. We have a really good team. I couldn't stress that enough. And I think with Eric, when he started working professionally, he looked back, he's like, all of a sudden I'm 40. Right, and I'm a Steppenwolf Ensemble member, and I won this Oscar, and I'm 50, and I'm, you know, I've been on Broadway as an actor, I've brought shows to Broadway, I've, you know, had all of these things, and then part of it felt like giving back, and he said, you know what, I haven't worked with young people since I was a young person. So I got out of school and I went to Chicago and I started working. And then I said, I want to do the plays that I want to do, but I'm going to have to write them. So he had always been writing and playing with writing, but that's when his playwriting took off. So all of a sudden, as you know, he got into that middle age, the first thing he said was, I want to interview and sit down with your students and just have just group discussions, just me and the students. I want to get their pulse and see what they're like and understand their passions or dreams or, you know, what they're interested in. And I think it turned out really well, because I don't think it changed a lot from when he was younger. And I think he identified with them, and I think that was really important. So in terms of suggesting other playwrights, I think he had to find people in that same mindset who identified with their younger selves and the dreams that they had as theater artists, and that they would give back in a sense and had that generous spirit within them to do this for our program and for the next generation of theater artists.
For those of you just joining us on today's morning show, we are talking about the next theatrical production at Carthage College, a brand new play called Life Cycle of a Star. The production is directed by Herschel Kruger, the chair of the theater faculty at Carthage, and the play is by playwright Ali Viterbi, who we are going to meet properly in just a moment. Herschel Kruger, you touched briefly on the way in which you made connection with Ali Viterbi. Tell us more about how this particular collaboration first came into being.
Yeah, so I think I had emailed her, and I think we had a couple emails back and forth and just talked about the program. And then I think you sent us your play. I asked for you to send In Every Generation, which was coming up at Victory Gardens, and we took a group down to see it. I brought 20, 30 students, and we went and saw the play. And it's really great that I think three or four of our seniors were freshmen at the time or sophomores. I'd have to think about where we came out of COVID and when we could go to live theater again. But they were part of that visit. But then Allie and I, you know, I kind of kept, you know, the communication going, and she seemed very receptive to the idea. And I think what also was maybe exciting for her was, I was like, you could write about whatever you want. I said, just think about that, mostly college-age students. I mean, it is college-age students. But also like 70% female-identifying roles to match the proportion of the number of students within our department. And the rest was wide open. And I just kind of gave her that invitation and freedom. And I think that's exciting sometimes for playwrights where, you know, there isn't an expectation that, you know, I want to write a play about X or Y.
It can be just about anything. Well, Allie Viterbi, tell us from your perspective about this first communication from Carthage College, from Professor Kruger, and in a sense, maybe like where you were in life at the time and how you received this opportunity, this invitation.
Yeah. Herschel was right. I got a cold email from a random person I had never met before. I was in Chicago at the time because my play In Every Generation was in rehearsals at the now shuttered Victory Gardens, but was what was once a really robust, you know, dynamic theater for new work. And it was the first production post-COVID. So it was this very interesting time for theater. I was just thrilled to kind of be back in the game, so to speak, after a couple years of canceled productions and postponed productions.
Yeah.
And I got this email from Herschel, and I had never heard of Carthage, but I did some digging on the internet, and it seemed like a really amazing program, this new play initiative. And so, yeah, I emailed him back. I think we had a Zoom call first, and he told me he was going to come to An Every Generation with students. And I was like, okay, well, you know, let me know what you think. And he liked it, which is good. And then we just continued the conversation. And Herschel's right. There was something particularly appealing about this program to me. I've had other commissions in the past, you know, through theater companies, kind of more traditional routes. But what was exciting about the new play initiative was both, you know, the freedom, right? I mean, the only requirements were it was roughly 90 minutes, roughly, with a larger cast of, you know, mostly female identifying actors. All of that was right up my alley. I had no issues with that. But I could write about anything. And I thought maybe, you know, college students, you have to be more sensitive about certain, but he was like, no, anything goes. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And then also, I just liked the way that the program was set out. They bring out the playwright four different times throughout the process, which for a college is pretty unique. Maybe that'll happen in professional theaters, but, you know, I think the gift of this program is it really puts in resources to the production and to the playwright in a way that's meaningful and in a way that really fosters collaboration. And so I liked the idea of that. And then I love working with college students. I've been a professor of playwriting and I love teaching. And I just think there's something about being at that age where you don't have the like stakes or disappointment of the career yet, and it's all the optimism, but it's all the talent and hard work as well. And I felt like, especially when Herschel reached out to me, it was that I was in that production and Victory Gardens was kind of falling apart and a lot of theaters around the country were falling apart because of COVID.
Right.
And there was a real pessimism in the theatrical community, a real sense of like, what is going to happen to theater over the next decade? And it was like, it felt really, honestly, kind of demoralizing working in theater. And so the idea that I could be back on a place where, back on a college campus where there was a lot of hope and a lot of optimism and a lot of hard work and enthusiasm and love for it, not just because, you know, it's the job that we have to do, but because we love to do it, that felt really contagious to me at the time. So I was really eager to jump on board, and I felt like Herschel and I had a good rapport, and that just continued to blossom as I came out here.
Fantastic. The play, of course, that you ultimately wrote for Carthage is called Life Cycle of a Star. We'll dig into the story in just a bit. But first, take us inside the process by which you sort of ultimately came up with this idea. I mean, as Professor Kruger's already said, you were given a fairly wide berth in terms of just about anything would be possible. I mean, it's going to be college students and so on, but I mean, otherwise kind of the sky is the limit. So when the slate is that blank, I mean, the canvas is that blank, how do you even start in terms of creating the initial idea?
Right. So I have a kind of document on my computer and on my desk that has lots of new play ideas. So first thing was I kind of was like, does anything seem like the right fit? And I wasn't sure. The thing I didn't want to do is write something, and Herschel and I discussed this early on in our meetings, that there had been a lot of plays about like a group of college students do X together, or they do, or a group of high school students. It felt like that was something that the program had done a lot, and also something that maybe wasn't as interesting to the students because, you know, when you're in, what's exciting about being in college is you want material that's age appropriate. You want material that you feel you can do justice to, but you want to be stretched as well. You don't want to be in a position where you're like playing, I don't know, some version of yourself all the time. So I thought about that. I was like, what is something that I can do that will be age appropriate, that they can really sink their teeth into, but that will also stretch them and won't be like anything they've ever worked on before? And so then I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I should not, rather than think about the age of these characters, maybe I should think about what preoccupies a college student, what's really on the minds of them, that's also on my mind, because it has to be the right, you know, there has to be a symbiosis there of what I'm interested and excited about writing and what might, you know, excite them. And so I was thinking that college is really the time where your friendships are just the most important to you. You know, as you, when you're younger, you're under your parents' roof maybe, and you have your family. When you're older, perhaps you get married, perhaps you have children. But there's something so beautiful about that time in college where you're separating from your home life, but you're not quite, you don't have the responsibilities of an adult life. Mm. And so friendship is really the cornerstone of that. You're also at an influx, right? You're maybe losing connections with your friends from home, or maybe you're strengthening them. Maybe you're gaining new friends. And I, you know, in my early 30s, am at a different inflection point in my friendships where people are, you know, having children and getting married. And so friendships are changing. And I felt like there was some kind of symmetry between what I was interested in and what's happening in college students. And so I've always wanted to write a play about friendship. I have a very, very close best friend named Amy, who I've been best friends with since I was 4 and still to this day. And I talk to her every day. And I've always kind of wanted to explore that relationship. And particularly, you know, I think in theater and in media in general, there's not a lot of focus on friendship. You get a lot of big epic romantic, you know, narratives where those are centered, or you get family plays a lot. I've written certainly both of those categories a lot. But I had never really seen a piece of theater that put a friendship center stage, that took it as seriously as it did a romantic partnership or a family dynamic. And so I was really excited about what would that look like? What would it look like to have a friendship be the cornerstone of a sweeping kind of big romantic narrative? And so that's where this came from, and I didn't know exactly what form it would take. You know, naturally you think, okay, you're going to write a play about two best friends, it's going to have two actors. Well, I knew I couldn't do that because we had a big theater department, and I needed, so then that was actually a fun challenge for me, because I was right, like, how do I write a play that's about two people with a cast of, you know, at least 7? We ended up having 9. So that was a fun challenge creatively, because I was trying to think, how can I build out this world in a way that's fresh and theatrical? And so then it kind of took on a life of its own as I envisioned, you know, this chorus and this narrator character. And I'm sure we'll get into all of that. But yeah, that's where the idea came from.
Cool. It sounds so great. Tell us about what you unveiled to Professor Kruger and when. I mean, so I assume at some point you shared, for instance, this idea. I think I want to write about a play about a friendship. And then at some point you're unveiling more than just an idea. Are you unveiling a rough draft of the whole thing, or act one, or some kind of a sketch, a little more of what the outline of the plot will be? I mean, how did this take shape, and what did you share with Professor Kruger, and when?
Yeah, so I think we had our first discussion about what the play might be about in maybe spring of 2023. We started discussing.
Oh, 2022, wasn't the year before that?
Well, I had a first draft last year.
Oh, yeah,
so, yeah,
when
I
the
think
draft
we've,
came, yeah.
Yeah, so I think spring of 2023, we started talking on Zoom, and I was like, I think I want to write a play about friendship. And he was like, huh, tell me more. And I'm like, I don't really know more. I just know I want to write a play about friendship.
That's all.
I was like, I'll figure out a way to make it a bigger cast, and I know mm-hmm. I want to tell it over a long period of time. I wanted it to go from about 4 years old to 90 years old. I knew I wanted to tell this sweeping story. And Herschel threw some really great ideas. We kind of talked about it, and then we kind of didn't talk again until I sent him a first draft. I mean, he checked in with me, and I told him I was, you know, working on it. And then I think my deadline was like October 1st or something of 2023.
And that's the whole play? I mean, a first draft of the whole play?
Full draft, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's changed since then, but it was the first kind of sketch of what the play would be. There was a beginning and an end.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so that was just over a year ago, and we've just been working on refining it ever since. But I don't think I showed you anything until I sent you the first draft.
No, and you know, as we were talking prior, we threw around different ideas, but that's right. That's when you had settled and said, "I want this to really be about friendship, and this is why." And I was like, "Sounds great." And then I think you were a little busy that summer too, didn't you?
Yeah,
get married.
I did.
And
had
some other stuff going on. So I let her work, but I checked in and. You know, we had a very easy relationship. We had not met in person, but we had Zoomed and talked, and it just felt like just real natural. Nothing was forced. I felt really open to share any ideas with her, and I think, you know, that worked both ways. So the genesis of the play. And that first draft, I think we're still like 90% intact, though.
Yeah.
There's been like some really important storytelling things and some other things that have evolved or changed, but most of that is still there, you know.
Yeah, the shape of it was kind of immediately clear to me from the beginning. You know, I mean, anything that we've changed has been, there hasn't been any like major structural changes. I knew where I was going the whole time. I knew what I wanted the final image to be, and that gave me a clarity as I was writing. And then it was just about fine-tuning and seeing what the actors and what you brought to it,
just,
you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the important things of the program, remember, is that students, you know, they are a big part of this. So when they start reading and using their imagination and their tools that we, you know, help develop, it makes an impact on the playwright and says, you know, they may say, oh, I like what the student is doing here with this character, or this character is really interesting. I need to develop them more because of what this student brought to it, and I don't think I'm, you know, serving them well enough, or how can we flesh this out? And sometimes it's the littlest thing. And also students have gotten used to working on new plays and having conversations with playwrights, and they give incredible feedback. And even on like the little characters like Lily's brother Ryan, who's like a character who's in and out, but they're like, whatever happens with Ryan? And we had these discussions with Ryan.
And that informed the play, and then he got a little bit of an arc. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean just little things like that. And some bigger things too, but yes, students are certainly very central to, you know, once you have the play, to continuing to develop it and hone the material,
and our collaboration too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for some reason, so this play is also has, I would say, an homage to Thornton Wilder's Our Town. It's not an adaptation, but there's certainly a lot of allusions to it, and it's not a play that I particularly love. It's not like one of those cornerstone plays for me, but I was writing this play and I just couldn't stop thinking about Our Town, and I reread it for the first time maybe since college, you know, and so I started, but then Herschel is a much more of an expert on Our Town than I am and a real lover of the play. And I felt like because of his knowledge of it and love for it, that really informed my writing of it. And I felt like it made the play better because there's also like our collab. There's ways that his vision and his love of that play found its, now it's in the text, you know, and vice versa. So there's a lot of, it's definitely the students, also Herschel, the designers as well. We have really talented designers. Mm-hmm. So it all informs the, what's exciting about new play development is it's, I describe it to the students as I'm just the blueprint, right? Then they have to build the house. Mm. And the blueprint changes as you figure out, okay, so this beam doesn't work here. Structurally, this needs to change. But the play is just the blueprint. What's beautiful about theater is that then there's all of these other artists and workers building a house that can be so much greater than what's on the page.
Mm. We're speaking with playwright Ali Viterbi about her brand new play, Life Cycle of a Star, that opens this coming weekend. Performances this weekend and the following. And Herschel Kuger, the chair of the theater department faculty at Carthage, is the director of this production. So at its heart, this play is about two women, Anna and Lily, and it follows the course of their lifelong friendship from early childhood, it sounds like, all the way to maybe the end of life. That seems like a bold choice when we're talking about a production that I presume features only college students. And so I'm curious, first of all, did that feel like a daring choice to make, to try to tell a story like that in which you're not going to have any little old ladies nor any young little girls on that stage? You're going to have college students telling a story that spans that kind of time. Did that feel like a risky move, or even if it did that feel okay?
I would say yes and no. I wanted to write something that was going to stretch them. I think college students often, when people write for college students or plays are selected, they're done a disservice, right? That they're playing the same kind of character. They're either playing some version of some high school stereotype, college stereotype, or they're playing like the little old lady that comes, you know, they're playing roles that are just completely wrong for them. So I wanted to do something that would stretch them, that would allow them to learn about what it means to play an aging character, but that would mostly really feel right to them. So I would say that the majority of the play takes place in their age range. We spend a lot of time with the characters in college and high school and a little bit after college. So generally in the 5 years around their actual ages is when I would say 70% of the play takes place. So the most emotional scenes, the most challenging scenes, the scenes with the most conflict, those all happen in their age range, which was intentional. Intentional and true to life. When I think about my own relationship with my best friend, I think the time that there was the most turmoil was during that period when you have a childhood friend, because that's when things change the most. You know, maybe you move away, maybe your lives are moving in different directions. So it was, I wrote it out of necessity for these students, but also because I felt like that felt true to the relationship that I was trying to tell. So I would say that they do. It's not like you're watching them play caricatures of other ages. They are mostly spending, the most meaty scenes of the play are around their age, which was intentional. But then they also get to stretch a little bit, and they get to play. It's really so delightful to watch older actors play little kids. There's something that's just inherently theatrical about that.
Yeah.
And then also, I mean, what these actors also just, I want to shout them out, are just so talented. So fiercely talented. And then you get to see them play older, too, and not for very long, just snippets. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a remarkable job, and aided by, you know, the costume and the lights and all of these things that are helping. But they're doing a really remarkable job, I think, embodying characters that are older than them. And I'll say it's the same two actors that play Anna and Lily throughout all the years. So it's not different actors playing different ages or anything. So they get to, which I think helps too, they get to live in one character over time as opposed to lots of people playing the same characters.
What hand, if any, did you have in the actual casting of the play, including these two really critical roles?
Yeah, Herschel brought me out for the whole audition process. So I think I trusted Herschel because he knows the students better than I do, right? Mm. What they can give in a 5-minute audition is only, and I know this from, you know, my work as a playwright, as an actor before that, an audition can only tell you this much about someone. And so you really have to know what they're capable of, where they are in their acting journey. So I deferred to Herschel, I think, for the majority of it. But I was there for all of auditions, so I certainly got to weigh in on who I felt like immediately, at least from the 5 minutes I saw of them, felt like they were that character.
Yeah. And then we had callbacks, and we got to see a bit more for very specific scenes. But contractually, our playwrights for the New Play Initiative always have a voice in the casting. So, and that's how things work most of the time professionally as well.
Yes.
So, trying to follow that model.
Sure. Let's just give you an opportunity to talk about the two actors who are portraying these two critical roles of Anna and Lily, and what you think they bring to these roles.
Well, they
let's start with their names.
Yeah. So it's all right. So Anna is played by Lily Lorigan.
It's very confusing.
And Lily is played by Melissa Schmidt. And they're both seniors, and this is their senior thesis project as well. So it's their capstone project. But, you know, I think it starts with their connection, and it helps that they're friends. I think they're close friends. I don't think they're forever friends, as I call them. Maybe, you know, they will be in a different way, but I think they're close friends. There's a lot of trust and support between them. And I think they can be vulnerable with each other. And I think they felt with that the freedom to try different things. And, you know, sometimes we learn more in the mistakes we make than just, like, getting it. And they were very, you know, open to directing and notes. And when Allie was in, I mean, they're just sponges. And they're very thoughtful in their choices and in their work. They're not just winging it. So you could see them really, you know, put in the work. And sometimes we don't see that work. It's the invisible work that they do outside of rehearsal on their own or in their car, you know, going through lines or in, you know, their dorm room or apartment, et cetera, where they come back, we'll have rehearsal and work on something the next day, and they come back, you know, let's say we last met and did that scene on Tuesday, and now it's Thursday or Friday, and I always saw improvement. They always did that work between. And that's, you know, not only underscores buy-in, maturity, professionalism, all those things, but it shows how much they care about it and how serious they are. And I think for both of these actors, you know, I think they're considering, you know, this as a professional career. I think it will serve them and it'll help them become very successful.
That's great. I do happen to know Lily because she was in opera workshop for one semester and had a very important role in my opera, Courageous Rose. And I witnessed all of the things that you were just describing so vividly. Allie Viterbi, what hand did you have in the shaping of this production in terms of what this would look like on the stage? And maybe you can also give us a little hint of what it will look like on the stage.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I was invited to every single production meeting because of my schedule and the fact that I don't live here. I didn't come to as many as I would have liked to, but I got to see early on the designs from all the designers, the sketches and renderings, and I felt really excited about the directions that they were taking. I don't think I gave strong opinions either way, but the script itself indicates my vision for it. You know, I had... Definitely in the staging of it, there is an homage to Thornton Wilder and to Our Town, that the idea of artifice and theatricality is a big part of the way that we stage the play. And I put that, you know, in the script itself. And I feel like they brought that to the stage and even more. I mean, in ways that I couldn't have even envisioned. And then, you know, now I'm here and I get to see it fully embodied. And so I get to weigh in on that process. But I couldn't be more thrilled with, you know, the beautiful design work that Maureen has done on the set. And the lighting is just spectacular. The sound, we have musicians as a part of the process and they're doing beautiful work. So it's been really thrilling to, again, see that house being built from the blueprint.
Absolutely. I did want to ask you about the music. One of your two musicians happens to be a voice student of mine. So that's how I have known for quite some time that Chase has been part of this production. I'm curious the genesis of that notion of having live music be part of this, and also maybe you could describe to our listeners kind of the nature of the contribution that the music makes to this.
Yeah, I've had live music before in a couple of shows that aren't musicals, and I think they really help in different ways. Of course, they can help set a tone, an emotional quality, with underscoring, create atmosphere. They could help build tension, break tension. They could help cover scene changes, like the practical thing where we keep people engaged in some sensory way, so the music keeps them, you know, engaged. But this play, we never really slow down much, even for scene changes. And I'd say 2 or 3 seconds, we may have to wait a couple of times for little scene changes. So that, like in stage time, it just keeps moving very quickly. The play's always moving forward. Sometimes they give the simplest things like a sound effect that, yeah, we could have recorded it, but it's different. But other times there's different motifs that Chase has created because he's a music composition major, correct? Yes. And he's written some beautiful, you know, melodies or motifs and you hear them, you know, throughout the play, so you start to tune into those, and I think they have the right emotional quality. They help with the tensions, and we also have Dominic Leswick, who's our percussionist, and that also, I mean, together it adds to it. But there's certain things that just wind chimes or. Or a couple of times where he'll use the glockenspiel, right? Because you think of percussionists, it's just like drums and a cymbal, but there's so many other little things. Like he gave me a list. He's like, here's all the things I have and things that might be useful to try. And it was like, I was like, wait, what is that? There'd be an instrument.
Yeah.
And he started bringing them all and experimenting. And, you know, I think ultimately it... it's almost another character, another storyteller, right? Just like the scenic design and the costume design, it's that important to the show.
Wow. Yeah, and I'll just add, without giving any spoilers, there's a big kind of change in the play that happens towards the end. The only thing I will say about it is that the play is called Life Cycle of a Star, so there is something related to that. And the music is really, I feel like, the... in addition to things that happen textually, is really what sets the stage for that big change. There's a lot of motifs that are, you wouldn't know until you get there that you've been waiting for that moment all along. And I find that really thrilling about what the music brings to the show.
Fantastic. I wanted to make sure that I asked you this, Sally Viterbi, that in your biography, you make mention of the fact that you've written some young adult fantasy novels.
Yes.
And I'm just curious what it feels like to craft a play. I mean, and that's, of course, primarily what you do. You are a playwright primarily. I mean, that's more your identity than a novelist. But I'm just curious how maybe one feeds the other, or maybe how one feels like a very different creative exploit versus the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say I'm also a television writer, so I love playing in different media that have different... but I will say that I wrote my novel during COVID when theater was shut down, and I was working in TV, which was great, but I had a lot more time on my hands, and I wanted to write something that, you know, I didn't need an audience of coughing people to see. So it was a big challenge. I mean, there are things in it that are the same across all of these media that I'm describing: character, relationships, dialogue. You know, those are all things that I went to school for, that I learned how to do. But then where I think novels differ from television and from theater is, you know, first of all, it's prose, but also just describing things. What's so great about theater is I just give the blueprint. I don't know how Herschel's going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen with the set. I love writing impossible stage directions, much to Herschel's chagrin, probably. But or delight, maybe, because I think they're a fun challenge for a design team. But I love writing things that I have no idea what they're going to look like. But you can't do that in a novel. You have to describe exactly what the house looks like. Is it yellow? What kind of trimming is on the door? All of those things. And I found that much more challenging. I'm not the most visual thinker in terms of the way that I write. So all of that felt like a real learning curve, that I had to not only describe visually but emotionally. And that's the thing in theater too. You don't want to tell actors how to feel. You know, you want it to come through in the text what the tenor of the scene is, but you don't want to tell them you have to do this sarcastically or you have to do this angrily, right? That would be bad, lazy writing. But you do kind of in a novel. You want to get a sense of what the characters are feeling and what they're thinking about. And so it felt like I was fighting against a lot of the instincts that I had trained and learned.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course you're underscoring the fact also that essentially when you write a novel, I mean, if it's with a publisher, you might have an editor, but otherwise it's really not collaborative
solo
at all.
Yeah.
And this is a richly collaborative experience in so many different ways. Well, I know lots and lots of people, including me, are really excited to see your new play, Life Cycle of a Star. It's running this weekend and the following weekend at Carthage in the Wartburg Auditorium. And Herschel Kugler, tell our listeners who will want to see this what they need to do to secure tickets.
Yes, so we are opening Friday night, November 1st, 2nd and 3rd. The 3rd is Sunday, that is at 3 p.m. And the following weekend is November 7, 8, and 9, Thursday through Saturday. Those are all 7:30. You can call the box office at 262-551-6661. Mm-hmm. And you could go online, go to carthage.edu/theater. And I believe on the right-hand side, if you scroll down just a little bit, it's the nice big red box that says Get Tickets. And our visual performing arts box office folks will be able to help you out.
Very good. Well, congratulations, first of all, on all of these years of great success with the New Play Initiative, including this newest installment in this wonderful undertaking, Life Cycle of a Star. Herschel Kugler, chair of the theater faculty at Carthage College and the director of this production of Life Cycle of a Star by playwright Ali Viterbi. Ali Viterbi, it was wonderful to meet you and to hear about your career and about this intriguing play. And thank you for being part of the morning show, and best wishes to you with all that stretches ahead for you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, Greg. And not just from Carthage Theater, but all the arts in Kenosha. You've been doing this for many years, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow on the morning show, Lisa Kornetsky. No, I'm sorry. Tomorrow it is the author of Go to Hell, The Most Otherworldly Places on Earth. And we'll also be previewing the weekend concerts of the Lake Geneva Symphony and Racine Symphony. And it's on Friday that we'll hear from Lisa Kornetsky about the Racine Theater Guild's production of Little Women. And we'll hear about a wonderful concert coming up at St. Mary's Lutheran Church in Kenosha on Sunday afternoon. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Today, skies are becoming increasingly cloudy. We'll have a high of 80 degrees, cloudy overnight with some rain and an overnight low of 63. A 50% chance of still more rain tomorrow, but cooler with a high of just 69 degrees. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.